In this morning's podcast, I'm reflecting on the power that the environment has over us and how it impacts our behavior. And I have a heavy heart. I'm dealing with a beautiful young lady in her mid-20s. Been working with her for about 2 months, heavily addicted to drugs, alcohol and drugs. She almost overdosed and died, ended up in the hospital. And that's how she came to me. Her parents reached out and says, you know, please help our daughter. And since that time, she has been clean and sober for about 3 months, you know. So when she almost died, had a heart attack, she felt something was wrong and rushed her to the emergency room, and somehow she survived it. And then, of course, what she says to me is, you know, man, that was a wake-up call. I'm moving forward. I need to get in to see someone. That's why I'm talking to you. And I explained, you know, from my understanding, how her brain works, what's going on with what I call the two-part brain. You got this emotional brain, the limbic system, where the pleasure centers, and it's driving your behavior. It's the unconscious part of the brain. We need to learn how to manage that, need to learn to understand these cravings and drives, because they will come back. When you get bored, lonely, angry, stressed, or tired, it's that system's job to try to take you away from pain. So I have to help people, when they are striving to get clean and sober, to embrace some discomfort and learn to make peace with it. This idea that we should be free of any discomfort and pain in life is just one of the most, it's the biggest lie of all. No, we need to do hard things that create discomfort. That's how we succeed. That's how we find joy in life. I love the statement by the Greek general philosopher Thucydides, who said, of all manifestations of power, restraint impresses men the most. Or Marcus Aurelius, the last of the great Roman emperors, saying, pleasures, when unrestrained, become punishments. Learning to embrace discomfort is the way to peace. Pushing ourselves with hard things, physical challenges, and so forth. We've just become so, so soft in our culture. A couple of fantastic books. Some of my all-time favorite books by Michael Easter. The Comfort Crisis is one, and the other is Embracing Discomfort. Man, I highly recommend those books. I just seem to listen to them over and over again, and I never get tired of them. At least I haven't to this point. But anyway, back to this client. So she'd been clean and sober for about 3 months. And her life has been chaotic. She's been in a number of different relationships, living with guys off and on for the past 3 years. Just broke up with her boyfriend, just constant conflict. She's not working. Parents are torn. They're helping support her so she has a roof over her head. And her live-in boyfriend was doing some work, but not much, you know, working from home. And then they're both smoking weed all during the day. And just their relationship is chaotic. Anyway, they broke up. And so she knows she needs to move on. It's not a healthy relationship. So she was willing to do that. And then one of her friends who recently got out of rehab, and this is what I want to talk about, the power of the environment. Bottom line is, she has two friends who went to rehab. because her whole culture is a drug using culture. That's where all her friends are. They go to raves together all the time. They're always high. They're always partying and music and the rave culture. Two of her friends finally got into rehab, and then they came out of rehab, and both of them overdosed in the past couple of weeks and died, which sent her into a tailspin. And then when I, you know, so we're trying to work through that and help her kind of process some of that. And then I get on with her on the session. She says, well, I relapsed last night. I drank to the point of passing out. I have no memory of what happened. I just know I was with some guys. I ended up at their house. And then I woke up in the morning and Ubered home. And then when she's talking to me, she says, I feel so sick right now. I can't stand the way that I feel. I have to change my life. I have to get away from this. So, and this is when the parents called me and were trying to work on a plan. They say, what about rehab? And I go, now rehab's wonderful, because I spent many years in the addiction field. I used to oversee residential treatment facilities or intensive outpatient facilities. I go, this is the challenge with rehab. You can go away from the environment and you get clean and sober. It's wonderful. You're safe. The triggers are taken away. You can't use. You're in a safe environment. And then your body begins to heal. The tolerance to the drugs that you're normally using changes. And then you come out of rehab and most always, and this is where individuals don't understand what they need to change. Most always, they will go right back into the environment from which they came. And that's what these two young ladies did. So they go to rehab, they get clean and sober, they come out back into the environment, and the environment is so powerful in creating triggers and molding behavior that they relapse, they go back and use normally what they're using, and they overdose and die. And the most classic research that indicated the power of environment came in the 1970s. The researcher, her name was Lee Robbins, and it was when the Vietnam War was coming to an end, and they had a couple of congressmen go over and assess things and basically found out that around, I believe it was 30% of the Vietnam soldiers had tried heroin, and as many, somewhere between 20 and 30% were addicted to this drug. And so they were concerned when they come back to America, oh my gosh, we're going to unleash this heroin epidemic with all these soldiers coming back. And so Lee Robbins studied these individuals, followed these soldiers who were addicted for a year. And this was the stunning results of what she observed. Only 5% became re-addicted to heroin. Now, how does that happen? Because we have been taught that heroin is like this most addictive drug, and you're never going to be able to get away from it. And the same with any drug, meth, cocaine, so forth. But it had to do with the environment. All the triggers, all the cues to relapse were over in Vietnam. You take a person out of the environment, and then they can restructure things. So individuals, and you take individuals here, living in America, or wherever they are, and they go to rehab, and if they come right back into the same environment, about 95% of them will get re-addicted. They'll just go right back to using. That is the power of the environment. And so for change to occur, And we can look at this in our own lives as it relates to anything. If we want to change whatever we need to change our environment, however we can. So individuals going into rehab, in order for them to have the best chance of sobriety and change, they have to get out of the environment. They have to change their friends. You just have to change your friends. Here's another interesting thing of this beautiful young lady that I'm working with. She said, you know, she got committed to sobriety, but she's not going to change her friends, right? So she goes to these raves and she says, I went to a rave sober and I was disgusted by what I saw. I was disgusted that they're all using and they're acting like idiots. And I look at them and their eyes are glassy and stuff like that. And then she's able to go, oh my gosh, that's what I must look like also when I'm using. And then and from all the experience I've had in those situations, and some people will go, oh no, yeah, we respect you. We respect you being clean and sober. Good for you. Yeah. See how long those relationships last. Any relationship, if you are using with someone and you're tied and part of your relationship is tied to that using. So two people who smoke pot, for example, or two people who are drinking alcohol on a regular basis in a relationship, just have one of them change. I'm going to stop using and watch what happens to the relationship. It will go south because so quickly, because basically it's the limbic part of the brains having a relationship with each other, and you pull that out of someone, you strengthen their prefrontal cortex and said, no, I'm not doing this anymore. And so you're more rational, logical in everything you do in the relationship, and it will just create conflict because the other person's limbic system who is using will try to drag you back into the familiarity of that relationship. Anyway, I just wanted to leave you those thoughts this morning. And with this one young lady, we're kind of at a crossroads right now, talking to her parents, and I'm saying, we got to get her out of the environment, got to move, got to change. So there's some possibilities there, but that's the best chance she has at finally getting out of this and changing. So, and that is extremely challenging. Most people aren't willing to do that, but I'm telling you, if you're not willing to do that, the power of the environment is stunning. And so you got to be willing to change. Got to be willing to do whatever it is you need to do. And to switch the environment. Move. And I know it's super, super hard. Because in our world, you know, those who struggle with chemical addiction, they can go into any city in the world and in 15 minutes they can find someone who's using drugs. Their limbic system is that good of identifying where they need to go, what person looks like. It's like a sixth sense. So they got to surround themselves with clean and sober friends, got to be active in the recovery movement and get into treatment and therapy. That's why I'm an advocate of more intensive outpatient to help them deal with the environment rather than going away to a residential facility. And sometimes you need to go to residential. It's the only thing that's going to save your life. But the idea is to come out and change the environment. It's the most critical aspect to healing and recovery. Change the environment and get some help in the process of setting up certain systems. I love this statement. We do not rise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our systems. Triggers are just too powerful for the limbic system. All the individuals that I've worked with who are using drugs or struggling with an addiction of some sort, they're all going, I want to change. I want to change. I want to change. They know they want to change, but they just haven't found the method to do so. Again, we do not rise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our systems. So we work on putting certain systems in place, non-negotiables that we do every day, learning to embrace discomfort, accepting the reality that in order to heal, you've got to be able to embrace discomfort from time to time. or on a regular basis and do something hard. And 100% an advocate for getting people involved physically, doing physical challenges. A great book. I encourage all my clients to read this book called The Comfort Crisis. And Michael Easter's other book, Embracing Discomfort. It just has just some amazing suggestions in there, and how to find inner strength. And that's really what we're after at the end of the day, finding peace with inside of ourselves and being able to look in the mirror and go, man, I like that person in the mirror. When you're dealing with an addiction where your limbic system is running the show, people are miserable. There's just something that's off when we give in to pleasures so much. Remember, Marcus Aurelius states, you know, pleasures, when unrestrained, become punishments. Has to do with food and everything. Anyway, those are just some thoughts I want to share with you this morning. Again, ponder the environment. If you're struggling with something, whatever it is, look at the environment in which you're placing yourself and do whatever you need to do to make some changes to see how that might impact your life.